Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Unfortunately, Colin is not here today. He's on vacation. And he missed out on a good one because the Raptors played, I think, their best game of Summer League. Honestly, by just Summer League standards, very well-played game. The Raptors winning by a score of 94-79 over the Indiana Pacers. Look, it's just Summer League. I know. And I think every year I sort of fall into this trap of getting too excited, you know. Like, I think last year was Giddy Potts. And, you know, there's been a couple other guys from Summer League that, you know, you see them in the setting, you see them based on the competition, you know, you get a little hype. And, so I'm going to say that as a disclaimer, but this is a very impressive game for a couple members of the Raptors. I'll start with the newcomer right here, Terrence Davis, who joined the Raptors on a 2-year deal after he went undrafted this season. He had apparently a couple of two-way offers from different teams that, you know, if he had agreed to two-way offers, he would have been taken in the second round. But instead, he decided to bet on himself, much like Fred VanVleet. Went undrafted, went to the Summer League with the Nuggets, and had a really good game in the first game of Summer League. I think he had 22 points, a couple of assists, a couple of rebounds. Just a very impressive outing overall. And shortly thereafter, the Raptors signed him. Now, I'm sure they didn't sign him just based off one good Summer League game, but you know, this is a case of a guy betting on himself. And so today we got the first taste of action with Terrence Davis in a Raptors uniform. And I got to say, very impressive. So he came off the bench first off. He didn't really play much at all in the first quarter. I don't think he saw the floor even. And, you know, he started the second quarter and played almost the entirety of the second quarter, played a lot more in the second half. But, man, he came in, he made an immediate impact. Hit a three, found DeJuan Hernandez for an alley-oop. And just throughout the game, I thought he was one of the Raptors' best players, if not the Raptors' best player, because it wasn't like he was necessarily dominating the ball. There's a lot of opportunities where he brought the ball up, but, you know, he looked to push the pace a lot. You know, he played well with Jordan Lloyd in terms of just, like, you know, advancing the ball and just sort of doing the dual point guard lineup kind of thing that, A, the Raptors were really successful with, and also B, that's sort of the, you know, alignment that Davis played with last season with Ole Miss. But Davis was solid, man. He was real solid. The biggest thing with his game that improved from his third season to his fourth season in college was the three-point shooting. He went from about a 31% shooter, which is not good, to someone who hit 37%. And that was over 5 attempts per game. And a lot of those were pull-up jumpers. A lot of those were obviously catch-and-shoot stuff. But it's clear he's confident he can shoot. I mean, he took 9 three-pointers tonight in 23 minutes. Didn't really force up any of those shots. I wouldn't really say any of those were bad shots. And he made 4, which is a very respectable percentage. He, you know, among those 4 was a pull-up jumper to beat the buzzer, which was contested. Very impressive shot. And just, you know, overall has a good stroke. You know, did badly miss a corner 3, but for the most part, looked very steady out there. But, you know, I also like the sort of the other parts of his game. Like, he was very active on the glass for a guard. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to. It's not his responsibility to go for rebounds, but he seems like have a nose for the ball, both defensively and on the offensive end as well. On one play, you know, he made sure to get himself down on the low block and fight for, you know, rebounding position as a shot went up. Got the rebound over, I believe, Aaron Holiday, who was probably the best player for the Pacers, although when I look at the numbers, oh my God, his shooting percentage is bad. But just watching the game, he looked like he was the most capable player. And yeah, he won the rebound over Holiday, went up for a putback, got his own tip after the first shot missed. So, you know, it showed pretty good activity on the side of rebounding. And as a 6'4 guard with a 6'9 wingspan, and also as someone that, you know, has pretty good hops and pretty good athleticism, there's a couple of dunks that he threw down in college that were very impressive, I would say. You know, Davis is a guy that can contribute on that end. And also, the playmaking was again, very solid. Like, I was pretty impressed. Like, the alley-oop to Hernandez right away. He had a couple more passes to Hernandez in the pick-and-roll situation where, you know, he would slip it down low and you know, Hernandez would finish. And there was another play where I forgot who it was. So 35 on the Raptors. I think that was, what's his name? Richard Solomon. But the guy had, like, briefly sealed his man in transition. And it's a pass that most point guards probably wouldn't have thought of, but in this case, Davis threw a bullet pass down low, found Solomon, and Solomon's able to gather and just quickly rise up. And that's just a good read. It just shows a good sort of sense for the game. He also had two steals, Davis, just by sort of playing in the passing lanes, and also had a very impressive block on Holiday in transition where Holiday went up and Davis went up with him and met him at the basket. So, very, very strong debut for Terrence Davis, who figures to be the third string point guard for the Raptors this season, with a chance to also challenge for some minutes at two. It seems like he can definitely play both positions there. And I'm happy with the signing. I'm excited for it. Again, this is just summer league, so I don't want to read too much into it. But he seemed to be one of the better point guards in college last year. And again, the Raptors development staff have just, you know, the development and scouting is sort of a two-pronged thing. But, I mean, the scouting staff has done a really good job identifying players that their development staff can do things with. And I think that's probably part of the reason why Davis signed with the Raptors is, you know, the Raptors have shown this ability that, hey, look, we can develop guys. You look at guys like, you know, obviously Fred and Pascal are the two standout guys. But even a guy like Jakob Poeltl, you know, a very solid guy who could start for the Spurs next year. And you look at even a guy like DeLon Wright, he just got a big contract from the Mavericks after getting traded. And also, you know, even a guy like Bruno. I mean, like, Bruno is going to be in the NBA next year. And that's, again, it's a credit to all these guys for, you know, developing and working their own games. But the Raptors have shown a track record of developing guys. Even go back to, like, you know, Kyle Lowry and what the Raptors were able to do with him and DeMar DeRozan. Even no-name guys like Patrick Patterson, you know, who turned into a very good player for a while. And Terrence Ross, you know, who came in very raw, you know, has now earned a big deal as well. JV, you know, the Raptors have shown this sort of track record, so I'm sure a good agent will notice that about the Raptors, see the fact that the Raptors under this regime have, you know, a lot of the Raptors players, a lot of former Raptors players still stay in the NBA, and that's a testament to the development here. So I'm excited to see what Davis does. Again, it's just summer league, but he seems to have a couple tools, and I like his game. I thought this was also the best game that we've seen out of DeJuan Hernandez, who, I don't know, first three games, efficiency-wise, wasn't quite there. You could definitely see the athleticism, the size, and you're like, okay, I can see why he's a prospect. But, you know, the efficiency wasn't there, and a lot of that was just based off him making bad reads. But today, a much more efficient outing. First off, the first three games, he didn't even crack like 40% from the field. Today, 7 of 11 from the field, that's a cool 64%. And if you really break it down, he shot 0-3 from deep. So that's really 7 of 8 on two-point range. So that's a very solid percentage right there. Also hit 4-4 from the free throw line. So a very, very efficient outing tonight from DeJuan. And a lot of that was just, you know, him playing in the right positions, like him getting to the offensive glass, getting putbacks, him rolling to the rim and finishing. And, you know, that's the stuff that you can sort of expect to see out of a guy of this size at this level. If he has good hands, if he has good coordination, he should be finishing a lot of these plays. I mean, the reality is he's just bigger than a lot of guys out there. But I thought the two things that really stood out from Hernandez tonight was just a pair of drives. So Chris Boucher didn't play tonight, and so they had to start this guy, Richard Solomon, at center. And so Hernandez had to be more of a power forward and extend this game. That's why he took three threes. And, oh, my God, some of them were just air balls by, like, a couple of feet. But Hernandez did show an ability to put the ball on the deck, which I was surprised by. You know, he didn't really show too much of that in college. He was mostly a rim runner kind of guy. And I guess he did show some of that in high school. If you really, really go back, you can see some tape. But, I mean, like, high school is high school. Like, you know, that's, like, so many years removed from that. So I was surprised to see it. And, you know, there's one play where I think it was the second quarter where Hernandez catches the ball in the corner off a kickout. He attacks the closeout, takes two big steps, and then just, like, glides to the rim for a very soft, like, finger roll finish. And I'm thinking, like, man, that's real impressive. And then I'm reminded of the fact that earlier today I watched the interview with Hernandez. at the start of Summer League, where, you know, he specifically mentioned that he's been watching a lot of Pascal Siakam tape. So I'm not saying that, okay, look, you're going to see this Pascal Siakam comparison out of DeJuan Hernandez. He's not the next Pascal. That is too much to put on a guy. But those were impressive moves for a guy who's 6'10". You know, he seems to be very coordinated. By the way, if you haven't seen already, I wrote a scouting profile of the Raptors' five new additions. You know, those being Hernandez, Davis, Matt Thomas, Stanley Johnson, and Rodney Hollis Jefferson. Four of those guys, everybody except Matt Thomas was in the building tonight, actually, for the Vegas Summer League game. But, yeah, and I wrote in that piece where the Hernandez is, like, part of the research turned up was, like, you know, based on the combine stats where, you know, it measures, like, athleticism and you know, shuttle time and lane, you know, lane agility, things like that. Among centers, Hernandez had the second highest vertical leap and the second highest, you know, shuttle time. And so this guy is very mobile, is very athletic, and for a guy who's, you know, again, 6'10", he could do some things. So again, he definitely lacks polish. He should definitely spend the season in the G League, but there's something there, and if the Raptors can sort of lock him into a deal, he's still not technically signed just yet, unless I don't know, maybe it has been and I haven't seen it, but at least I haven't seen it yet, so who knows. But I mean, yeah, when if the Raptors do sign this guy, like, there is some potential there. And yeah, those two drives from the perimeter, including that one out of the corner, that's surprising. That surprised me. You can find those clips, by the way, on my Twitter account at @William_Lou. Yeah, that's right, I'm making summer league highlights. That's really what I'm doing with my summer. The other guys that impressed, I would say Malcolm Miller continues to have a good game. You know, Malcolm, first two games, whew, were bad. And the way he started against the Knicks was also bad. But he turned around against the Knicks, and he continues to show basically why he's still on the roster. He hit 4 of 7 from deep in 25 minutes. Also shot 6 of 11 from the field. It's not bad when he puts on the deck. And, you know, he was struggling a lot shooting-wise. So he was putting on the deck sort of out of necessity early on. Tonight, it was an example of the fact that if he can hit from deep, then he can drive against the closeouts. And as a 6'8 guy, it shouldn't take that much for him to get inside and finish. So I like the way Malcolm played. Obviously, hitting a couple shots is good. He got into a war of words with what's the guy, Brian Bowen, the second on the other side. Actually, I like Brian Bowen. He made a lot of hustle plays. A little like Kelly Oubre-ish, but yeah. I mean, you know, Bowen sort of talks and smack to him, and then Miller, you know, got his revenge by just hitting a couple threes in his face. You know, it's good stuff. And again, Malcolm has a guarantee day coming up on the 24th of July, so he needs to have a very solid summer league to sort of bolster his case to stick around. But, you know, for a 3-and-D guy, Malcolm is on the cusp, I would say, on the cusp. And if he can have more efforts like this on a consistent basis where, you know, just the three has to be his bread and butter. And he needs to hit 4-7, like, very often at this level. Maybe, obviously, not at the next level because, yeah, okay, if you shoot 57%, you're probably going to be in the NBA. But at least in the summer league level, he's going to get open looks off sort of just chaos. And he needs to be a knockdown guy. And he was a knockdown guy tonight. In terms of your three stars, those are basically your three stars. I mean, no Boucher today, so other guys got some more shots. I would say first star is Davis, second star is Hernandez, third star is Malcolm Miller. Davis with 16 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, only one turnover, which is pretty good for a guy that operated so much. Also, 2 steals and a block for the first star. Second star with DeJuan Hernandez, 18 points, 7-11 shooting from the field, 4-4 from the free throw line, 8 rebounds and assists. Pretty solid minutes. And then Miller, 16 points, 3 rebounds and assists, and 1 block, including 4 three-pointers and 6 of 11 shooting overall from the field. It's a good outing from the Raptors. It really is. I think you got to give credit a little bit to the coaching staff for the fact that the Raptors sort of buy the game from, you know, their first outing, you know, throughout to this one. It's been, there's a lot more improvement in terms of just, you know, a lot of summer league is open floor, you know, just bad turnovers leading to runouts and stuff like that. So you can throw all that garbage away. But just in terms of half-court sets being run and stuff, the offense is looking a lot more fluid now. there's a lot of times, you know, in that first game and especially in that second game against the Spurs where it's like offensively, I'm not really sure what the Raptors are trying to accomplish. I'm not really sure if they're running anything. And, you know, expectations are low. I'm not expecting you to run, you know, gorgeous offense in Summer League, but, you know, it didn't look to be there. And I think the addition of Davis sort of really helps because he's someone else that can sort of operate at a functional level. So he can bring some clarity to the offense. But I think Lloyd has gotten better with his playmaking. I think just the whole team overall has just settled into running better sets. Like the actions are better. And I think a byproduct of that is the rest of the team is going to look better. When that happens, when you're actually running good actions, everyone's going to look better in that sort of system. And so the Raptors tonight shoot, you know, look, 42% is not great, but it did hit 34% from deep and got to the free throw line. And 94 points in Summer League is a pretty good total. It's a pretty good total. So I'm happy with the effort tonight. In terms of Gerald Henderson, that's got to go to Brian Bowe in the second. Again, like I mentioned earlier, he a little bit of a shit disturber, I feel like. You know, has some spunkiness to his game. It seems like he is Oubre-esque, except with a better jumper, I would say. 17 points on 5 of 10 shooting, 2 of 4 from deep, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. Made a lot of hustle plays, you know, and it just generally got himself into the mix. So I like him. I thought Aaron Holiday was going to be the breakout star. I looked throughout the game, it looked like he was playing really well. And I guess in certain aspects he was. Like he did have 23 points and he got to the free throw line 10 times. But man, the guy shot 6 of 26. Like what? 6 of 26. That's bad. That's really bad. So I'm not really sure there, but physically he looks very good. I mean, he's the third and youngest brother of Justin and Giroux. And you know, he's shaped a little bit like Giroux. He's got good frame to him, got good size, good weight. And so, you know, I look out for Aaron Holiday next year. But, man, you got to improve on 6 of 26. That's what you have to do for sure. So, what the hell? Yo, the Thunder have traded Russell Westbrook to the Rockets for Chris Paul. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Russell Westbrook and James Harden. I mean, honestly, that's, oh my, I can't believe the Thunder actually took on that contract, but I guess I also can't believe the Rockets took on that contract. That's hilarious. Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook? Jeez, man. Yo, Chris Paul's really going to be playing basketball in Oklahoma City again with nobody. He's just, oh my God, Chris Paul's going to have a hard time in OKC. Oh, jeez. Wow, that's, I guess I'm happy that Russell Westbrook's not coming over to Miami because that would have been a decent team in the East. But that's just funny, man. Because as someone that doesn't really like Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook, it's just funny to see them in more miserable situations. So, wow, that is interesting. How does Westbrook and Harden share the ball? Like they're gonna have like a combined usage of like 95%. I feel bad for everyone else on the Rockets. They're just going to be rebounding. That's because it's just going to be Westbrook and Harden taking shots. But wow, that's interesting. And then Chris Paul, my God, that guy is too old to be playing in OKC, man. Okay. So Summer League action. I'll be back to cover the rest of it. The rest of the tournament is going to be knockout style. So we'll see how many more games the Raptors end up playing. We'll see who the Raptors' next opponent is after the brackets are set. But once they are set, I'll be back to cover the rest of the game. So thanks, everyone, for listening. I still can't believe that trade happened. That is hilarious. And, yeah. See you next time.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.